Okay, drat. It shows the volume. All right, folks, sorry about that. The intro music is acting up. Man, we've been having strange problems today, but I think we're on the air, and my guest is Pastor Martins of South Africa. How are you doing, Pastor Martins?
Good evening, Pastor Eli. We're all keeping well here, rather most of us, at least those of us who aren't getting attacked by terrorists on farms.
Right.
But things are going well with us. We've had a beautiful day. It's virtually summer today, and we're in anticipation of the summer creeping up on us again. With the temperature that we experienced today, I think was in the order of about 27 degrees C, which was quite high
What
for
about
this time of the
85,
year.
85 or something like that in Fahrenheit? What is
I will make a conversion sometime or the other. I forgot that,
Ah,
of
oh,
course,
okay.
you're working in Fahrenheit.
Yes.
And then I will just mention what the temperature in Fahrenheit was today.
Yeah.
And now hot air, it's a fairly warm wind which is prevailing, which of course is good for, it's an indication of more rain on its way, which of course will alleviate the drought that we've had in the Cape and the
Drought, yes.
tremendous water shortage.
Yes, very good. Thanks, Pastor Steve. All right, so what our topic today is last night. Maybe you can explain to people how the let me just call it the New Cape Recession recession secession movement. The New Cape Secession movement is going, and I understand that Tosa people are really one of the driving forces behind it, and they're demanding self-determination, okay? And whites are demanding self-determination away from the ANC, the African National Congress, which is basically a black racist, how should I, communist enterprise. Over to you. Please explain what's going on.
Pastor, yes. Of course, the basis of the secession of the state of the Cape of Good Hope. Now, I think I mentioned to you that I had the privilege of having a meeting with the Khoi King and having some discussions with him,
Yes,
which, of course, was in
Cornelius.
a very,
Yes.
I beg your pardon, Pastor?
King Cornelius. His name is Cornelius, correct?
It's King Calvin Gubar Cornelius III.
Okay.
And I had the opportunity, the wonderful opportunity of meeting with him and his wife and some of his entourage just a few, about 2 months ago. And it was a very, very good meeting. It was in a most, I would want to say, a most welcoming and it was in a very friendly manner. We laughed together. We discussed various topics. And one of the things that the King Gubar asked of me is what was the purpose of
A Khoi song
my
group.
visit to him and the discussions that I wanted to have with him. So I touched on that, in particular, the fact that we as Boers have so much in common with the Khoi, even if people don't recognize it at the moment, is that and perhaps it will drop a penny, if I can call it that, when I mention what we have in common.
Okay,
Now,
right. Yeah, different races, obviously, right? Okay,
yes,
so what do you
but
have in
Pastor,
common?
the important thing that people must realize that the Khoi were the first inhabitants of this particular part of the land.
Okay.
And of course, the Khoi, along with the San, it's two very closely knit groups of tribes, where the San represent the Bushmen and the Khoi represent the Hottentots, and they very closely knitted together.
Right.
They were the first inhabitants of the land, and when Jan van Riebeeck landed on the or set foot on the soil in on the 6th of April 1652, there was a treaty signed, and that treaty was that the Dutch could use a particular tract of land for the purpose of establishing the replenishment station in the Cape. Now, that was by agreement with the Khoi King at that time.
Okay.
However, yes, you wanted to ask a question, Pastor?
This was before the Boer people arrived?
Pastor, yes, that was
okay.
The
right.
first... The, well, 1652 was when Jan van Riebeeck arrived with his entourage, of course, consisting of, I think, about in the order of about 240 men that arrived on the five vessels or the vessels, the ships, the wooden ships that they arrived in. Quite interesting, the five wings of the Cape, the Castle of Good Hope.
Mm-hmm.
It has a pentagram insignia.
Oh, really? Okay.
And the five extents, the extremities, which were designed in such a way to give the capability of being watchtowers as well, for an outlook on whoever might have wanted to attack. So it is strategically a very good design in terms of building of a fort.
Mm-hmm.
But and it just happens so that it also is in the form of a pentagram. These five wings, if I can call it that, were named after the five ships on which they arrived. And it was only about 6 years later that the first Freeburgers arrived. And the Freeburgers, of course, were not employees of the VOC, the Dutch East Indian Company, or the United Dutch East Indian Company.
Okay.
They were, in many cases, these people that did come as Freeburgers, they were temporarily in the employ of the Dutch East Indian Company merely for the sake of repaying their passage on the vessels down to the Cape of Good Hope.
Okay. All right, so it was a business proposition.
It was a business proposition, and in many cases, these people were, for example, they were wagon builders, and they were people of agriculture. They were farmers. Some of them were, for example, builders, and they were building the houses of the populace or the aristocracy in the Cape. And some of them were, for example, seamstress
mm-hmm.
and sewers, you know, making clothes, tailors.
Right. Okay.
And even some of them were soldiers. They were appointed as soldiers merely for the purpose of repaying their passage back to the VOC.
Okay. All right. Now, how does this relate to the Boer people now? Because you're saying that the Hossa people made this agreement with the Cape Dutch. And, of course, we know, we've explained on this show the detailed history of the separate nationhood of the Boer people and the conflicts that the Boer people have had with the Cape Dutch and the Afrikaners. So now how do the Boer people come in? Because this is already convoluted when the Boer people arrive.
Yes, the Boers were sort of caught in the middle because the VOC marginalized well, at that stage, they were not yet called Boers.
Mm-hmm.
They were merely referred to as the Freeburgers. In other words, they were not under any commitment to the VOC other than repaying their passage to the Cape of Good Hope.
And once that was paid off, they were free.
They were free.
Freiburgs.
However, they were, of course, they wanted to set up themselves to be able to cultivate food for their families and also to be participants in the trade with the ships.
Uh-huh.
However, they were continuously marginalized. The VOC after the agricultural land had been timed, so to speak, and prepared, and with plants and the agricultural plants growing, they would be disenfranchised or disowned right. from that property. Now another thing is, the Cape Dutch sold the property. In other words, they were basically extending what the agreement was with the Khoi, was that they could use a particular tract of land, and here the VOC was selling this land to the Freeburgers.
Oh, okay.
And you can see that this right. this thing, then, of course, the Hottentots, which also consisted of the Khoi at the time,
okay.
they became discontented by the fact that the whites were now just taking over the land. They were actually taking, but the Boers that was not necessarily aware of the agreements or the
right.
fact that they were certain.
Okay. All right. So here, let's see if we can imagine this in a more modern context. So you make an agreement of Party A. Let's say America makes an agreement with the Indians, right?
Yeah.
And then a third party, not related to the American government, America sells the land to this third party, let's call them Canadians, and all of a sudden the Indians are upset that the Canadians, and the Canadians knew nothing about the agreement that the Indians had with the Americans. So that's very convoluted, but I hope that's a suitable analogy. So you can't blame the Boers. That's my point. You can't blame the Boer people for this, well, call it an infringement, okay?
But then what the Cape Dutch did, Pastor, is they marginalized the Boers or the Freeburgers at the time,
right?
Putting them on relegating them to the outer fringes of the community mm-hmm. in the Cape. In other words, the Freeburgers were sort of the protectors of the people within the community. In other words, the
right.
the Cape Dutch entrenched
as a buffer.
within this whole matter.
Right. Right.
They entrenched a mechanism whereby the Boers would be attacked first. And
yes.
this often happened, and this also led to a lot of discontent between the Boers and the Khoi.
I can imagine.
However,
I can imagine. Yeah, go ahead.
What I wanted to stretch and absolutely put on the table in this statement that I made when I said that the Khoi and the Boers have a lot in common. Both groups of people were stolen or were robbed of their ground, their lands, their whatever was the Khoi's and whatever was left after the Cape Dutch had just come in and taken over, marginalizing also the Khoi.
Yes, yes.
But they did exactly the same with the Boers with the 1910, the illegal union of South Africa in 1910.
Mm-hmm.
The Khoi were robbed of their land where they were the first inhabitants, and the Boers and the Boer republics, where they were the first inhabitants of those two tracts of land or portions of the land. So they were disowned from their land. And what has happened now is with the Khoi now secession of the Cape, the state of the Cape of Good Hope, they have established themselves in a position where they have now taken possession of the land which is theirs,
okay.
which is also protected by the various United Nations resolutions,
mm-hmm.
by various conventions, international conventions.
Okay.
They have now...
Oops. Hello? Hold on, folks. Let me see if I can get Pastor Martin. Are you there?
Can you hear me, Pastor?
Yeah.
I can hear you perfectly.
Okay, yeah. Temporarily got disconnected. Please continue.
So what the Khoi did, and I have a lot of admiration and respect for the Khoi King, having gone to the extent, now this isn't something that just popped up in the past month or two.
Okay.
This is something that he had meticulously,
planned. Yeah.
Researched. He researched every avenue for his people
legally. Okay.
To regain their independence, because they had been relegated again or removed from their inheritance, what they deemed to be their inheritance. They were the first inhabitants of the land. In other words, they were the possessors or the owners of the land, exactly in the same way as which the Boers were the owners and still are the owners of the Republic of the Orange Free State and the Republic of Transvaal and the Republic of the Vryheid in the Northern Natal, of course, in the area where Blood River also is. So these three republics and the Khoi have a lot in common. They belong to people who were the first inhabitants of the land.
Right.
Or alternatively, in the case of the Boers, where the Boers negotiated and traded livestock for land.
Okay.
And the Boers are in possession of those tracts that were signed even by Dingaan himself. And that was also what the purpose of Piet Retief was. Remember, Piet Retief, whom was... and his commando who were killed by Dingaan. The purpose of visiting Dingaan's tribal village was for the purpose of obtaining land for the establishment of a Boer Republic.
Right.
And that was what they did. And unfortunately, there were a lot of other things that happened in the background, which I don't think is the purpose of our discussion now, but what I would like to get to is, during these discussions that I had with the Khoi King, one of the, one of the things which I also, while we were discussing this, one of the English-speaking representatives of the United States of Youssef, I've just forgotten the whole meaning of the acronym Youssef.
Okay.
But it's a South African, the United South African Federation.
Okay.
And one of these gentlemen had actually stumbled across something which he asked.
A treaty.
He said, Dave, don't you want...
He stumbled across a treaty, right? An old treaty that everybody forgot about.
No, not quite.
Okay, not quite.
One of them had heard something about the visitation that I had of the angel.
Interesting.
And they asked me, don't I want to perhaps just tell the king about this? And when I started telling the king about this, I realized that every so often his wife would actually stretch her arm out and touch his arm, and I would... Yeah. Continue, and to the point where I was wondering, Dave, are you perhaps if I'm perhaps transgressing in some manner by, mentioning my experience with the visitation of the angel.
Right.
And I decided, well, I'm going to finish my story. I have already plunged into this discussion. I might as well finish it.
No, those are friendly gestures on her part, not hostile gestures.
Absolutely.
Right.
The important thing was that when I finished telling the king and his entourage about this, the king looked at me and he said to me, that's a wonderful experience. And he said that he's going to actually ask his wife to also say something about this, which I had just said.
Mm-hmm.
And then she started talking and she said to me that she was so glad that I mentioned this because she had a similar experience.
Okay.
So can you see how...
Very interesting.
How the Almighty...
Okay.
How the Almighty Father prepares people for the events which are yet to take place.
Right. And they're about to take place from what I understand. But here, let me back up. I just posted in the chat room... Oh, by the way, Bavarian Man says that... it's about 80 degrees, whatever you're, I think 27 degrees centigrade is 80 degrees Fahrenheit. I think I'm not looking at the page at the moment, but I was close. I guessed 85. All right. So it says here the Cape secedes from South Africa. This is about a year old, so this hasn't happened yet. Oh, wait a minute.
It happened in September of last year.
Okay, September of last year. The announcement.
Yes, but
okay.
what I wanted to say on this, Pastor, it was about 19 years ago that the king started investigating the possibility, and he, I'm not sure as to how he managed to get into contact with somebody that also acts as a advisor to the United Nations in terms of land claims, etc. And mm-hmm. this advisor was then so friendly to actually guide this whole matter into a tangible presentation, yeah. which right. the king went to present
viable.
In the United
yeah.
Nations.
A viable presentation. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Here,
I'm looking at, and anybody in the chat room can open this page. It's a document, and it shows this map. It says DKAAP, K-A-A-P, and it's showing this area, which is quite sizable, almost one-third of the present South African territory. It's divided into four provinces, gray, green, orange, and a darker orange, saffron and orange. Mm. Okay. And apparently this is the territory. Now, which of these colors represents the Khoi territory?
Pastor, it is the area which, if I can recall, is marked in green. Now,
okay,
that is the right to the what is most of what is currently known as the province of the Western Cape.
Mm-hmm.
And you will notice that I often refer to the Cape Dutch. Now, that was the seat of the Cape Dutch.
Okay.
Traditionally, purely because of the Anglo-Boer War, if you can recall, the Boers undertook the Great Trek and they moved to across the mountains into the Orange mm-hmm. Free State and the Republic of Transvaal and into Natal, which was known as Natalia. And they also, what they did was they announced or they proclaimed the Republic of Natalia. The Boers had proclaimed the Republic of Natalia. But then came the British, and the British upset everything, and the Boers right. decided not to defend Natalia any longer. In fact, my great-grandfather was one of the defenders of the Republic of Natalia, and he decided at the point that it was not worthwhile because there were just too many British.
Right.
So they moved inland, and they settled in the Republic of Transvaal.
Further north and further east, is that what it is?
Further west.
Further west, okay. All right, so I'm looking at this territory. Now, this, again, yeah, 24th of September 2017, and the first paragraph under the bold type here, representatives from white South African people approached the Khoi king with a plan for secession, and it was discussed over a five-hour-long meeting. The plan was agreed to, and a verbal agreement was put in place. The plan was simple, yeah. that the Khoi king secede with the backing of the Khoi, Afrikaner Boers, other European descendants, and coloreds. For this backing, these four nations would equally power share in a new government under a sovereign parliament federal government system as laid out in the brief that was received by all parties. And thus a relationship was born and a new hope was given to the four nations to unite under a new country in the Cape of Good Hope. Now, let me go back to World War I, where President Wilson advocated the right of self-determination of ethnic peoples. It looks like that's what they're trying to do here. Go ahead.
One of the things that needs to be said here is that, again, we're sitting with this Afrikaner Boer. There's no such thing. There's no recognition for a Zulu Xhosa. There's no recognition for a Zulu Tswana. There's mm-hmm. no recognition for Zulu Swazi. But these Cape Dutch Afrikaner blinking idiots keep on bringing this.
Yeah.
And their only purpose, their only purpose is to totally destroy and to annihilate and to commit total genocide against the Boers, because they have already, and to such a degree grabbed, well, first of all, they grabbed the Boers' republics.
Right.
Then afterwards, when the Boers became agitated by the fact that they had no say in their own republics from 1910. In 1914, there was a rebellion. It was the Cape Dutch Afrikaners that turned their firearms and their visors and their they pulled the trigger on the Boers.
Right.
Killing the Boers, because the Boers demanded their Boer republics back. But yeah. on Gorillas, every yeah. issue, Pastor, even this so-called, and we've spoken about it on this program, the Boeremachsaak, the Boeremach case,
okay.
was an Afrikaner attempt to further annihilate the Boers and to bring them into a position right. where they have become fearful to stand up and to stand together because of this three generations of brainwashing
okay.
That the Cape Dutch Afrikaners have executed and turned on the Boers.
Right. Okay,
the Boers, I would...
Yeah, so given the language of this statement, how is this... because the Boer people want the right of self-determination for themselves. Is Correct. A separate Boer nation included in all of these, in all of this verbiage?
Pastor, one of the things, and one of my objectives with the discussion of the with the Khoi King was for him to realize that there is no such thing as a Boer Afrikaner.
Okay.
A Boer Afrikaner is merely a prototype that the Freemasons
like,
had established
American
in
Indians.
1983.
White Indians, right?
but the Freemasons under F.W. de Klerk and the old minister, Afrikaner Nationalist Party Minister Pieter Groenewald and his brother Jannie Groenewald, they established this
okay.
Principle whereby they would create an organization that would keep this carrot of
Dangling.
Self-determination before the people while mm-hmm. they are in total cahoots with what the Broederbond, the Afrikaner
okay.
Broederbond being the and we've actually discussed it, we've
yeah,
spoken about
I
it,
okay.
the so-called thorn yeah. tree government, the
right.
Doornbosch, the thorn bush government,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
behind
the Boers get the
ANC,
thorns, right, yeah, they get thrown into the thorn bush. Okay, so this can't, from what you're saying, this doesn't sound very promising for the Boer people. The only upside... let me finish here. The only upside I yes. see is that this movement is about overthrowing the ANC, which, good riddance, if you guys can get rid of them.
Yes.
Back to you.
Pastor, yes. Something else that I must say, at the time when I had these discussions with the Khoi King, one of the things that was I thoroughly enjoyed hearing it, that the Cape Dutch Afrikaners had withdrawn from this agreement that they had,
mm-hmm.
and they were busy with a black smearing campaign against this whole process, against
really?
The Khoi King. They absolutely okay. passed, and the
mm-hmm.
I would perhaps call this a
They love all races, don't they? Aren't they liberals in a classic sense? It's totally opposite to what they profess to believe.
Pastor, the whole thing about these Cape Dutch Afrikaners, and this is a trait that has emanated across
yeah.
the globe wherever the Edomites
right.
stick their necks into.
Too
if
much
they
Edomite
cannot
blood.
Infiltrate... If they cannot infiltrate with the purpose of taking full control
yes.
and dominating and then subjugating everybody around them, they
okay.
don't want it. And then they go through a process of black smearing and backstabbing, etc.
Yes.
And this is exactly what these Cape Dutch Afrikaners are had set themselves to do. And that was so encouraging to me because at least the Khoi King can now continue
right.
knowing that these people have been identified.
Okay.
In fact, after my discussion with the king, he knew thoroughly what the difference was between an Afrikaner and a Boer.
And a Boer. Okay,
and that
so
they were not the same people. They did not even come from the same hinterland in the Europe.
Understood. Now, that he actually accepts the principle of self-determination for his people, how can he deny such a recognition to you and the Boer people? Okay.
No, Pastor, the king himself recognizes the self-determination of all people.
Okay. Okay. That's a great start.
So that's a very important thing.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. I would like to play now. This is Dr. Leonard Martin, a COI representative on the news. I'll just play a couple of minutes of this because he speaks English very fluently, but he uses language that Americans and Brits probably wouldn't be familiar with. So let's give a listen
here. Khoisan Group, led by King Kubaha Kelvin Cornelius III, has given Parliament and government until today to vacate the premises.
Now, last night,
an eviction notice was placed at the visitor center of Parliament on Monday, but it was later removed by the police. Cornelius gave...
Okay, so the Khoi people told the ANC to vacate? Is that what happened?
That's correct, Pastor.
Wow!
In fact, he served them a notice of eviction.
Uh-huh. Okay.
In other words...
Oh, I like this.
If they... Absolutely. Can you see why I say he had full control of the situation? He had taken this bold step in stepping forward and saying this is what is owed my people. It is owed to my people. It is owed to us.
Okay.
And when I say us, I speak in the third person.
For the Khoi people. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, something that must also be said. In the South African Constitution, there is a particular Article 235 in the South African Constitution that was drafted prior to the 1994, just after, I can't remember, before the 1994 elections.
Right.
And in this Constitution was written all the parameters whereby every group of people could claim a self-determination. Now, ever since the ANC came to power, one must also remember that the ANC is merely a puppet organization and a puppet front for the Cape Dutch Afrikaners
and the international Jew.
Afrikaners that
the
still control from the rear.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So they throw this word self-determination around, but they never give it to anybody.
But Pastor, that was merely... Prior to the 1994 elections, there were so many Boers that were opposing this whole thing of releasing Nelson Mandela and unbanning the communist organizations and the trade unions,
etc.,
that was associated with communism. And the only way in which F.W. de Klerk and his treason brothers, and I call them treason brothers because they committed treason even amongst and against their own people.
That's correct.
But these treason brothers had established various lures and let's call them carrots, these carrots on a stick, that irrespective of how far you move, you never reach the carrot because the carrot...
Right. Dangling in front of the donkey, right?
That's right.
Okay, self-determination, that's the carrot, right?
Okay,
Everybody's chasing it, they can't catch it. Go ahead.
If W. de Klerk had, on numerous occasions, now remember, prior to these elections, there were two referendums, but the government of the day, this Cape Dutch Afrikaner Edomite brothers of deception and Freemasonry, and also the Broederbond, They averted every possible means of public debate. They merely wanted to make their statements, and whatever debate there was to be held between the other parties. They would not participate in any open, honest public debate. So can you see the scenario? They had full control of the mass media.
Yeah,
they had full control of the
TV.
Because it was all state-run and they were the state.
Yeah, promises.
Now,
promises. Yeah. That's
one of the things that they did was that F.W. de Klerk and Pik Botha actually stated it on numerous occasions. Other cabinet Afrikaner, Cape Dutch Afrikaner cabinet ministers also stated it on numerous occasions. They said that there were checks and balances. The checks and balances are built into the constitution in terms of the release of Nelson Mandela, etc. But there's only one reason they... F.W. de Klerk actually mentioned on numerous occasions that Nelson Mandela had sworn down any public violence or enticement to public violence.
Yeah, right.
Which he never did.
Yeah, of course he never did.
Mm-hmm. And the only reason why Nelson Mandela and all the other trade unions and communists were released was because all the top structures of the communist parties and the communist trade unions had become Freemasons. And the control which these Cape Dutch Afrikaners hold onto these the current black government is because they had become Freemasons. And Freemasons, you know what happens with the Freemasons.
Yeah, they rule. They rule. Yeah, right. Okay, so let me play a little bit more. I just want to share something with people here. Andy Hitchcock just sent me a cartoon. It's a guy opening up a fortune cookie at a Chinese restaurant, and the fortune says, "You have much big Jew problem. Get rid of Jew. Problem go away." we should make fortune cookies with that message in there. All right, that's funny, Andy. Thank you very much. Let me play a little bit more of this report here.
Parliament officials notice that the Khoisan people have seceded from South Africa.
Wow. Have seceded. Past tense. I hope he's right. Okay, let's continue.
Yes. To establish the sovereign state of Good Hope. But the Kumani Sun and other formations have distanced themselves from the secession and the actions of King Cornelius. Meanwhile, the National Khoisan Coloured Consultative Conference, the NCC 2018, is set to take place during the week of the 21st to the 24th of September in Cape Town. Now, the aim of this conference is to promote unity amongst the Khoisan Coloured Collective and to lay the policy foundation to map the way forward for a coherent future of the First Nation in South Africa.
Okay, so he's saying basically not all the Khoi are totally unified in this movement, but I have a feeling that they will be. I don't know, what's your assessment?
Pastor, there is still dissent amongst the Khoi, but many of these... Remember the Soros factor?
Yes.
I think many of these people are being paid to be in dissent with the Khoi king. Now, he's not a self-proclaimed king. Many people, especially these Cape Dutch Afrikaners, who decided to opt out of this and they are busy licking their own wounds and frying their own barbecue in Pretoria and the surrounds of thereof.
They
have embarked on a black smearing campaign of the king and also of this whole process.
I see.
But one of the encouraging things which I can say, which I actually stumbled across just tonight, is that the Freedom Front Party, the Freedom Front Plus, under the leadership of Corneille Mulder. Now, Pieter Mulder used to be the leader of the Freedom Front Plus, and he also used to be one of the cabinet ministers or a representative,
bureaucrat, whatever.
A deputy. He was a deputy cabinet minister in the ANC government for about 20 years.
I see.
And I actually met up with them prior to the 2014 elections, and I held them accountable for many of the promises that they made way back in 1994, which they had never met.
That's right.
And they were busy making new promises to the voters. Now,
they keep making more promises, but never fulfilling any of them. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
And that's the way these Edomites operate.
That's right.
What they want... In fact, and what I accused Pieter Mulder of as well, was that it was merely a cozy seat for him to gather his, to expand his pension one day when he leaves the politics, because he never reached one of the so-called aims of the Freedom Front Plus. They never achieved really anything. They were forever holding this carrot in front of the voters, in front of their voters, of self-determination. But I'm going to say something now, which I have said on many occasions, and some people have liked it and others have disliked it. Self-determination to the Boers, and for some reason or the other, everybody and every political party want to lure the Boers into their camp. But self-determination for a group of people that do have two republics that were illegally stolen from them. Self-determination is like a man who is the Afrikaans
word. He wants his property back. He wants his property back.
Pastor, the way in which it is stated, which I stated, self-determination to the Boer is like a man who masturbates when he is married. It leaves him content for a while, but it never gives a lasting feeling of contentment.
Right.
Purely because self-determination is based on the obtaining of a little patch of land for a group of people that is dominated by the Cape Dutch Afrikaners under the Freemasons, exactly like Urania is, exactly like on the east of Pretoria, there's a place which is called Kleinfontein. It is a number of, it's dominated and controlled by Cape Dutch Afrikaners, whom are also Freemasons. So it's Freemason rules, but yet they still are subjugated to the ANC. They are still subjects of this country called South Africa. They are still subjects and subjected to all the rules and laws, whatever Pretoria dictates under a black communistic government.
Right.
Now,
so enough of that.
One must realize that this is merely to used as a lure, to lure the Boers, because the Boers have been indoctrinated and brainwashed to such an extent that they don't even know that they are Boers. I wonder if 5% of the Boers at this stage know that they are Boers. They believe that they are Afrikaners because of the continued hammering of
propaganda.
Propaganda. And it's called cultural genocide.
Yes.
In fact, the Cape Dutch Afrikaners have committed cultural genocide against the Boers for the past 120 years.
Yeah, that's.
Initially, in the concentration camps, it was genocide by division, by genocide by design.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, and they used their proxy military agents in Britain, because remember what I said, they'd actually gone and conspired with the Rothschilds of the Bank of England to push the British government to the verge of total financial bankruptcy. And when the British could no longer continue without succumbing to the demands of the Rothschilds, they came and they invaded South Africa, or the Boer Republics. They came and they did not come and invade for the purpose of making war. There was not one shot fired. But they came to actually, for lack of a word, they came to occupy the Boer Republics.
Right.
And by this occupation and by setting certain demands on the Boer Republics, Volksraad, the seat of government of the Boer Republics.
Right.
It became intolerable. And now remember this Trojan horse, Jan Smuts, who was a Cape Dutch who participated in this conspiracy against the Boers, setting himself up in an office in Johannesburg.
Right.
And Sammy Marx, also Freemason. Now, Jan Smuts is a Freemason. Sammy Marx is a Freemason.
Edomites and Freemasons. Man. Okay. Well, let me just interrupt you here, because I want to play a little bit more of this, but you also mentioned the name of George Soros. But first, let me comment that our listeners can understand why you are being attacked by Afrikanerdom for exposing all of this and waking up the Boer people who think they're Afrikaners when they're not, right? It's all brainwashing and cultural displacement, cultural occupation is really what's going on, okay? So, but now you mentioned George Soros, because last week you revealed that George Soros was behind the scenes working against the Boer people in South Africa. And you said, now, of course, we know about him here in America and in Europe. I had no idea that George Soros was subverting and sabotaging the whites of South Africa as well. So you had another statement. What's he up to now?
Pastor, there is an organization in South Africa that had been operative for quite some time, quite a number of years, called the South African Institute for Race Relations.
Okay.
Now, the South African Institute for Race Relations, excuse me, was already operative in the old South Africa under the Afrikanerdom, and this particular organization draws up statistics about events, etc. Now, this particular organization is funded by George Soros.
Okay, more white genocide.
And also, hold on to your seat, is also funded by AfriForum. Remember that AfriForum organization
exposed,
that purported to be protecting the people,
the
white people
behind
against
them as well.
Disenfranchising by the ANC and the communism. Yeah. They purport to be standing in and helping and supporting the Afrikaners or the white people losing their jobs, etc.
Yeah.
However, this AfriForum organization, I nearly said the Afrikaner organization called AfriForum, which it, of course it is.
Yes.
They purport to be reporting on farm murders and purporting to even go to the United Nations to lay charges against the ANC. However, what the AfriForum did was to ensure that the blacks may sing "Kill a Farmer, Kill the Boer," without any fear of
they purport to they purport to serve the interests of whites in South Africa, but it's really nothing but a cover for more white genocide. That's always the result, right? Nothing changes.
And in particular, the genocide of the Boers, because remember the song says, "Kill a farmer, kill the Boer."
Right.
Now the Boer, and also if you listen to the songs that the that Nelson Mandela sang. Whenever they were in a meeting or a open congress, they would sing a song about killing the Amaburu.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is a song that entices the blacks
racial
to
violence.
Kill and maim.
Yeah,
the Boers.
It's inherently racist, anti Boer for sure. Let's see if we can get Dr. Leonard Martin here to say a few
joining
words
us
here
in the studio. He's the convener of the National Khoisan Coloured Consultative Conference 2018, Dr. Leonard Martin. Doctor, very good morning to you.
Good morning, and good morning to the viewers.
Now, as the national convener of the Khoisan Coloured Consultative Conference 2018, are you in agreement with the King Kubaha that seceded from South Africa?
You know, Elvis, I think we are all in agreement in the Khoisan movement that we will not permit distractions to take the front seat.
Okay,
we are dealing with.
He's saying that we are not doing destructions or acts of violence. We don't want to perform acts of violence to get our way, like the ANC has done. Is that? Do you understand that to be his intention?
Pastor, no, he's projecting that onto the Khoi King, Gubar, Cornelius III. You see, what he's actually saying there is he's purporting that King Kubaha, Calvin Kubaha Cornelius III, has gone the avenue of destruction, which is not true. King
so he's Kubaha, not he's not with the Khoi people, and he's opposed to it. Is that what?
Well, I think it is a matter of he's indicating that he is separating himself.
Okay.
From this particular action that King Kubaha had now executed.
Okay. So this is part of the disunion that we were talking about earlier. okay? Yeah. So, yeah. All right, but obviously the Khoi people and the Khoi king was not advocating violence.
Never.
Was he? Okay. So this is a false accusation by Dr. Martin, Dr. Leonard Martin.
Pastor, I would say that he is hinting towards it, but I don't think he has the guts to openly declare and say
okay.
that the king...
All right. So this is disinfo. Because this this is from SABC News, which must be South African Broadcasting Corporation.
Broadcasting. That's
yeah,
right.
Probably a branch of BBC. right. Okay.
Perhaps even the South African Broadcasting Corporation.
Yeah, right.
Because they boasting. Their only purpose is to boast about the tremendous capabilities of the ANC and the tremendous achievements of the ANC when there's nothing that the ANC has actually achieved over the past 24 years at all, other than renaming streets and renaming towns and cities.
Yeah, yeah. We have a Mandela Avenue here in Chicago. Right? It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. So, so what do you make of all of this? We have about 8 minutes left. The broadcast started by saying that they have the Khoi people have announced they want to eject the ANC and told them to get out. So what's going on now? What's anything? I mean, this provokes a violent confrontation in my view. Maybe that's what Mr. Martin here is trying to convey.
So Pastor, there's no other avenue of doing it than the way in which King Gubaha had done it. He, first of all, he handed eviction notices to the Parliament of South Africa.
Wow.
The second thing is he actually attached these eviction notices or copies of these eviction notices to the doors of the Parliament.
Hey, like Martin Luther.
And which he has the full right to because he has all the unctioning and the support of the United Nations. The United Nations had given him all the right to claim that the independence of his people on the basis of, first of all, I think Resolution 1514 of 1960, which should have, had it not been for Dr. Verwoerd, the Boers could have obtained and re-established their Boer republics in 1960 already. Mm-hmm. But because the Cape Dutch Afrikaners had then got the fright of their lives, they were fearful that the Boers would want to secede their Boer republics from the Union or the illegal Union of South Africa. So Verwoerd climbed onto the plane and he went over to Britain and they decided to have South Africa become a republic, and he came back telling the Boers now they have a large republic, which is theirs, but the Boers have been relegated to the outer fringes of the society in South Africa. That is why most probably about 80 to 90% of the white people who are relegated to shanty towns and to shacks outside of the towns and the cities and on the dump sites of the cities of South Africa are Boers. They have been relegated in a very, we can talk about this at a later stage, something that I've just said this morning to one of my Facebook friends, that it was a long and lengthy process which the Cape Dutch Afrikaners had used, but a very subtle one to differentiate between Boers and Afrikaners, and they propagated the Afrikaners, and they intentionally ensured that the Boers would never get ahead in the Afrikaners, South Africa.
All right, so because this demands the bigger picture here, because we know that the Rothschilds and the international Jew and their compatriots and among Freemasons and radical left, the communists, they're all working together with each other against the Boer people, have from the very beginning. The only way I could see, and the United Nations is part of that, the only way I could see the United Nations pushing this or accepting this is if they want violence. Okay? So maybe they're posturing, say, okay, now we accept your your position, King of the Koi, and let's see what happens. I don't see how the Israeli state, you know, which is part of the United Nations, could possibly accept the situation, because the Jews are the ones most guilty in creating this horrible state of affairs in South Africa. What's your thoughts?
Yes, Pastor, one must see the universalism in the establishment of the Union of South South Africa. Of course, it was under Cecil John Rhodes, the Freemason Jew, that established this immense wealth. And of course, the Cape Dutch Afrikaners were part and parcel of this Cecil John Rhodes fraternity. Even we have a singer in South Africa, Steve Hofmeyr, who also purports, and he is being elevated to be a so-called traditional leader of the Boers. But his ancestors have such a long and a treacherous line of Freemasonry and of a treason against the Boers. It's just unbelievable. That would take most probably a whole program on its own just to discuss that.
Yeah. Right. But
so the Afrikaners actually pushed this man to be a so-called traditional Boer leader for the purpose of driving a division amongst the Boers, because mostly this man has a very bad reputation with playing with females. And playing with females, I think he has children with three or four wives.
Okay.
Or ex-wives. Exactly the same. His grandfather was a Dutch Reformed minister, and this Dutch Reformed minister, also by the same surname, Hofmeyr, was absconded, or he was exiled from his position, or his
office,
office, mm-hmm. because of the multiple. Doings and goings on that he had with the women in his congregation. And so this particular grandfather of his joined up with Cecil John Rhodes, whom had been a faithful house friend of his for many years. And then out of that, this Steve Hofmeyr's grandfather actually was one of the orchestrators of the Jameson invasion into
right.
the Boer Republics.
Okay. Yeah, so the history of South Africa with regard to the Boer people has been one false promise followed by a stab in the back, another false promise followed by a stab in the back, time and time again. Okay, so...
Yes.
All right, so now you've got this apparently legitimate movement for self-determination by the Khoi people. What about the Boer people? Is there any realistic hope for the Boer people here?
Pastor, there is.
Okay.
In exactly the same way the president had been shaped and created by the Khois. And for that, I have a lot of endearment towards them, and I have a lot of gratitude towards them, because they have established the avenue whereby self-determination, that is their terminology for it. In the case of the Boers, it would be the restoration of the Boer republics, but it would require exactly the same avenue, because the Boer republics were also drawn into, in fact, lied and deceived into this
okay.
So-called Union of South Africa
All
in 1910.
Right. Yeah.
And the only way in which we can restore the Boer republics is by following exactly the same pattern of operation as King Gubar the Third did.
Yes.
And,
okay. All right. Pastor, we've run out of time. It's a very interesting situation. We'll see what happens. Maybe we'll have an update next week as to what has transpired here and what will be, okay? All right?
Yes, excellent, Pastor.
So thank you for giving us this update. We're just about out of time. So thank you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And stay safe, stay well, Pastor Martins, okay?
Thank you very much, Pastor. Right. Have a great evening, and praise Yahweh.
Yeah, praise Yahweh. Bye-bye. All right, folks,
bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Sunday with another edition. We'll see what happens. Crazy things happening around the world.